It's a schuss and an honor to be here today, as I say every week. One of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. And we're going to do like we always do. We're going to ask a couple of questions and then come out with that major yisod, that major foundation point that we can bring into our lives in a very real way. The Torah tells us in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayihi b'shalach paro es ha'am v'lo nachom elokim derech eretz plishton. And it happened when Paro sent out the people that Hashem did not lead them by the way of the land of the Plishtim. Ki karovu ki amar Elokim, because it was near, for Hashem said, because maybe they're going to come back at you. We know that Klal Yisrael, after the Eser Makos last week's Parsha, they're finally getting out of Mitzrayim and they're running away. And it's amazing because we know that most of the Mitzrayim were killed. They were killed. A lot of Mitzrayim were killed in Makos Bechoros. And the Torah tells us in Perek Yudalet, Pasuk Zayin, Vayikach Sheish Meod Rechet Bachur. There were 600 chariots. Ibn Ezra asks the Gevaldik question. We know that there were 600,000 Jews. Again, 4/5 didn't make it, 1/5 did. But there were 600,000. Now, if you do the math, ask Ibn Ezra, there were 600 chariots chasing 600,000. You look at that ratio, the upper math, that's 1 to 1,000. So I don't get it. What are they afraid of? Even if they were strong and they had the chariots and they had all these different things, you have 1,000 people on one. You just, you know, you jump on him and you get 1,000 people to jump on them. Why did they not just attack back? Their numbers were so much more. Question one of the Ibn Ezra. Second question. We know that we get to the Az Yashir. Right? There's not so many shears in the Torah. There are shears in the Torah, but there's not so many. This is the first time that we see a shira, this song. And then there's an amazing medrash. One of my rabbeim, Rav Sachs, in his Haggadah, brings down this medrash, a very famous medrash. The medrash says that we know Az Yashir, that again, some people have the ability to say it every morning, some people don't. But we have this idea of Az Yashir. And the Torah tells us in Perek Hey, Pasuk of Gimel, Moshe Rabbeinu is coming to Paro right in the beginning, and he comes to Paro and he says, "Let my people go." And what does he say? "No, no, no, I will not let them go." But it says in Chaf Gimel, "Umeaz bati el Paro." I went to Paro from the time that I came to Paro. Ledaber b'shimcha b'shemecha haro l'amazeh. I came to Paro. And then he just speaks bad. It says the Medrash, Az. You know, we have the word Az over there, Hey Chav Gimel, and we have the word Az Yashir. The Medrash is a little perplexing. What's the connection? Very nice. It says Az and Az, but they seem very different. Furthermore, Pasuk tells us in Tehillim, Tzadi Gimel Beis, it says that my throne, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne, is only established when we have the Az Yashir. Says Rabbeinu Bechai that the throne is not complete until we sing this song, the song of Az Yashir. What is so special? What is so unique about this song? And we'll call this section 2, because there's a couple of questions, but we'll call it 2 still, because that's the Yashir section. We know that a person is running late. Chas v'shalom, none of us. I always say, it's not that they're running late, just everyone's earlier. But you know, when you get to davening, when they start at 7:50 and you get there at 8:15, that's called late. And we know that the halacha is, which people have different minhagim what to do, but we know that if you're running late, what do? You do Baruch Sha'amar, you do Ashrei, obviously you do Brachos, and then you skip to Yishtabach. But the obvious question is, the Mishnah Berurah brings down that Az Yashir is such a powerful tefillah, you have to feel like you're Kilu, leaving the water, you're leaving Mitzrayim. So why do we skip it? Shouldn't you think that we shouldn't skip it? It doesn't make sense to skip it. Just say it. Put it as part of the idea. So, and the last question is, when we're talking about the money, again, this week's parsha is so jam-packed. It's amazing. As Yashir and the Mon and Amalek. But when we're talking about, when it's talking about the Mon, it's amazing. It says that we know that on Shabbos it got two portions. And then there's a very perplexing language that a lot of Rishonim are trying to pick up on. It says in Perek Tes Zayin Pasuk Dalid, Liman Anisenu, I'm going to test you. What is this test? The Mun's a test. Again, we all know, we're taught as children, that whatever you thought about, what you got is food, right? A person's thinking about that steak. A person's thinking about whatever, like, I love sesame chicken, right? A person's thinking about whatever they want. So yeah, maybe it's a test, because you want to have a milkshake with your sesame chicken. You know, like, maybe that's your test, but not really, because obviously, Basar B'Cholov, again, they didn't get the Torah, maybe there was no problem. Okay, but what is the test? The Mun's a test. The Mun's awesome. What is the test of the Mun? So again, let's just make sure we got the three questions. Again, there's so many questions in the Zeek's Parsha. Sometimes in the Yesod idea, I throw them in. But you guys all know that. Question one, asked the Ibn Ezra, 600 to 600,000? Just let the Jews just turn around and just knock them down. It doesn't make sense. Question two is Az Yashir. First of all, it says Az and Az. What's the connection when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Paro and he's not letting them free with Az Yashir? What is this Shira about? And in that section, why do we skip Az Yashir? And lastly, about the Mun, why does it say Vinisisi? Why was it a test? Why was the Mun a test? So what's the Yisoid? What's this major foundation point that we could bring into our lives in a real way? The Ibn Ezra comes along. Ibn Ezra was one of the great Rishonim. Ibn Ezra was very poor. A lot of stories about the Ibn Ezra. But all his svarim are tremendous. And the Ibn Ezra, he doesn't need my eskom, he's one of the Rishonim. The Ibn Ezra says an amazing idea. You know why Klal Yisrael couldn't go and just fight back the Mitzrim? Because who were these Mitzrim? The Mitzrim were in charge of them. They were telling him what to do. The Jews, the Yidden, had a slave mentality. They couldn't get out of it. They were nervous. And these Mitzrim were on top of them. They felt very low. So even though the numbers, 600 to 600,000, since they felt like slaves, and they were slaves, they were slaves for 210 years to these Egyptians, even though their numbers were so much higher, but still they couldn't attack. Why? Because they had a slave mentality. Ibn Ezra says also in a different place, Ibn Ezra says, Moshe Rabbeinu, he came from the house of Paro. Why'd that have to happen? So Ibn Ezra says again, because although we have Midrashim, you guys all learned when you were little, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was given the coals or the gold, and he went to the coals, his tongue was burned. But he grew up in the house of Paro. Why did that have to be? Because in order for greatness, you've got to view yourself as greatness. Since Moshe Rabbeinu felt that he was great right in the beginning, and the opposite by Yamsuf, they were coming to the Yamsuf, they didn't know what to do, they could have just turned around, says Ibn Ezra, but they felt slave mentality, they didn't have the confidence. And we all need to have the confidence, we all need to feel we could accomplish. If we don't have that confidence, if we don't feel we could accomplish, who's going to accomplish for us? We need to feel it. I'll tell you a story. I was in 8th grade, I was in RPRY, right? The Yom Davis, RPRY, right? So I was in RPRY, and we had a big basketball game against Kushner Academy, and it was a big game. And I remember the captain threw me the ball. I was wide open for a very big game. They were much better than us. The captain threw me the ball wide open, you know, like when you're wide open for that layup. And I think I threw it over the rim, over the backboard. It was a little embarrassing. And he yelled at me. I remember. And I wasn't so happy that he wasn't the coach, even though sometimes captains think they're the coach, you know what I'm saying? So he wasn't the coach, but he was a captain, and he yelled at me. And I got very angry. Not angry, a little disappointed. Why are you yelling at me? And I told myself, this is going to be my game. This is going to be the game. I'm going to instill confidence within myself. Even though normally I don't shoot the ball, you know, I'm the rebound guy, right? I make everyone know that I'm the rebound guy. You know, I'm the guy that, like, gets the rebound, and I go over to the stat guy, like, how many rebounds do you got, right? So I'm the rebound guy, but I don't usually shoot. But I decided this is going to be my game. The captain took me on, even though we're on the same team. And I remember it was unbelievable. I was shooting, I was hitting shots. We were down by one. I really remember 8th grade, a long time ago. I'm an old man, yeah? We were down by one. And there was a minute left. So obviously, when you have a minute left, who's going to shoot that ball? The captain. Right? The captain was very good. And who's going to shoot the ball? The captain. But he passed me the ball. We were passing it around. And I was wide open. And I said, you know what? I'm going to shoot the ball. And I shot the ball with confidence. Swish. And then they came back. And then Kushner scored again. And now we're down by one again. So obviously, who's going to get that ball? The captain. And he gave me the ball again. And I drove in and I hit the shot again. It was the craziest thing. Two shots in a row. Again, I had a lot of points. I don't want to brag. 85. No, I had like 20 points that game. But why? How did that happen? Because if you want to be successful in whatever you do in life, you need to bring your A game. You need to bring the confidence. If you don't bring that confidence to the table, it's not going to happen. And it's found in anything you do, in learning, in being active. If you don't bring the confidence, right? Today we're going to get to a Tosfos. It's not so easy. If you don't bring your confidence to the table, it's not going to happen. You know, I used this muscle before. I actually once I was speaking in Ribeiro Wine Shul in Rechavia. My parents are here in Shaar Chesed, and they made Aliyah. Beautiful. They go back and forth to America and Israel. They have an apartment in Shaar Chesed. So sometimes we dive in Rabbi Wine Shul. And once, a couple times, I've spoken there. And maybe I'm T4ing myself, I'm not sure, but I'll tell you one time, I told the following that just to hit on this point, no one was able to break, and I probably spoke about this before, I always do, but it's an amazing thing. No one was able to break the 4-minute mile. People got so close. Pavel Nura from France got to 4 minutes and 2 seconds. All these people got so close, and no one was able to break the 4-minute mile. And on May 6, 1954, I remember saying May 4th, and I was corrected. I remember. That was like awesome. You know, at least people are listening. May 6, 1954, a man by the name of Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile. He was in the Iffley Road in Oxford. I did my research. And he hit the 3 minutes and 59.4 seconds in Oxford, right? And it was amazing. He broke the 4-minute mile. He was famous. And that's awesome, right? If I would run a mile, it would take me, well, it's probably like 2 minutes nowadays, you know? But no, it would take me like 25 minutes. But he broke the 4-minute mile. Now, you want to hear the awesome thing about that? Is that there were so many people that couldn't do it. After he broke it, 46 days later, people broke it. At the end of the year, in 1954, 26 other people broke the 4-minute mile. Is that amazing? That is again, the fact that Roger Bannister did it is unbelievable. But the fact that he was able to break the 4-minute mile, what does that show? Because when you come with confidence and you believe in yourself and you show yourself that you could do it, then anything is possible. The Nitziv says, Rav Naftali Svi Yehuda Berlin, the Rosh Yeshiva of Lodzhen, he says it's amazing, Klal Yisrael. You know, they didn't get the Torah right away. Why didn't they get the Torah right away? Coming right out of, right, splitting of the Yam. They should have just got the Torah, give it to them right away. But no, it's about little by little working on yourself, instilling the confidence. Kriyas Yamsuf was a Shira. We don't find Shira so much in the Torah. What is a Shira? So it comes along with Usher Weiss, one of the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael. And he says, you know what a true song is? A true song is that when you just let your neshama rise to them, you have the inspiration, and you just want to scream out to the Ribbono Shel Olam and just scream out. It's spontaneous. You want to sing that song. You know, sometimes we just sing that song. We're so proud of ourselves. And it's a Rashi in Erechin. Rashi tells us on Yud Aleph, I'm an Aleph. When you want to sing a Shira, Simcha V'Tuv Levav, you need to have happiness. You need to have V'Tuv Levav. And Shira is this spontaneous. You know why they never had a Shira before? Is because everything was about setting the progress, putting it in motion, and realizing that you could do it. Little by little by little, but with the confidence. You know, today they're finishing Megillah Daf Yomi. The consistency. Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky, right, the Reshiva DRS, he just came and he spoke about consistency. Beautiful voice I never heard before. The Torah is compared to water and milk, and it's compared to honey and wine. Because again, this idea of consistency, instilling confidence within yourself, but also the sweetness of the Torah, the wine and the honey is the sweetness, and the milk and the water, without those two things, he can't live. So you need both. You need the inspiration, but you also need the consistency. And we are here to grow. We are here to build that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we need to believe in ourselves. Right? Just Daf Yomi was just saying, right? Give a shout out to all the people in the room. My father's been doing Daf Yomi. He's been doing it for, I think, 21 years. He's been through the cycle so many times. You know, Moshe Shetrid and REC were pounding in the bass, steiging in the Daf. Benny Hershkowitz and Asher Lieberman doing the Daf. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Amazing just to do that consistency. And then you got to sing the Shira. You got to sing the Shira L'Hashem. How Hashem has given us so much. He's given us so much. You know, last year, everything was on Zoom. So many things were on Zoom last year. And last year I had the zchus, Rav Isaacson led it, the beginning of it, Rav Shiva Milasaren and I, and then he left and I was able to take over. We had a Zoom session with Rav Herschel Schechter, Rav Shiva Wayu. And one of the questions that we asked him is, you know, how do you become you? Like, how do you know so much Torah? And he even said an amazing thing. He said he went to public school. And he said that he started to enjoy, he always thought he was going to be a lawyer. And then he started getting into his learning. And then he went to Rav Salvei Tikshir. But he said, you know, my father was a big Rebbe in YU. And I always saw him learning. And when I saw learning and I saw, wow, how precious it is, how sweet it is, I knew that there's something here. Obviously, part of our DNA is the Torah, is the davening, but I saw the sweetness. And since I saw the sweetness, I knew that I need to make this really part of my life. And that's what we're doing. Again, we're not living, we don't know what's going to be the future, but we're living to build ourselves. The more we build ourselves, and whatever you're going to be doing in life, the more you make Torah real, the more you make Hashem real of your life, then that's going to be the greatest thing. Says the great Orach Chaim, V'niseisi, what was the test of the mon? What was the test? Really, it was a test? You got whatever you wanted. You were in the mood for a little flesh, a little steak. You thought about it and you got it. It was amazing. So what was the test? So there's a couple of answers. Orach Chaim HaKadosh says, you know what the test was? Things were so easy. You didn't need to go prepare the meal. You didn't need to go shech the cow. You could just think of whatever you want. So things were so easy, therefore you had more time on your hand. And we know when you have more time on your hand, it could either be really good or really bad. It could be productive or it could be not productive. The Gemara in Suva says that extra time could be great or extra time could lead to bad things. So that was the test. Rashi says, no, you know what the test was? Are they going to follow halacha or not? Is the halacha, you're going to be able to do it? And comes along the Ramban, and the Ramban says something a little different. He says, you know what the test was? The test was, do I instill the bitachon, the faith of Hashem? And we all know that we have ups and we have downs. Sometimes we're feeling it, sometimes we're not. But especially when things, again, when things are hard, and something happens to us, there's no atheist in the foxhole. You know you got to call out to Hashem, right? We have a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban, if tefillah is d'oraisa or not. And Rav Soloveitchik said, beautiful, that our tefillah really is be'esara, because we always have to feel that Hashem, again, we have such great things for us, but we have to feel the necessity of davening, reaching out to Hashem, and although it's hard, you know, I know it's hard, the Gemara says it's hard, but still, a person needs to connect with Hashem. But there's the idea, even when things are good, you got to reach out to Hashem. That's what the Menisesi is. Although the man was such a gift, although it was such a gift, still when you have such great things, you got to reach out to Hashem and you have to realize that. And I think that's the Medrash. May az. What does it mean, az? Because az yashir, again, Klal Yisrael, the mitzvah we're chasing it on one hand, and then you have the Yamsuf on the other hand. What do you do? What do they do? So they went for it. They said, Hashem, there's nothing. I can't do anything. What am I supposed to do? There's a sea in front of us. And all of a sudden, the sea splits. And they say, wow, now I can become that nation. Now we're going to get the Torah. Next week's parsha, we're going to get the Torah. It's going to be so sweet. I don't have the Mitzrim. I don't have a Yetzirah, right? Mitzri. Why Mitzri? I once heard that beautiful. What's a Mitzara boundary? When you set boundaries on yourselves, you can't accomplish. But when you show yourself that you could do whatever you set your mind to, you could do it. You know, it's something amazing. Miriam, she's traveling everywhere. They're all going and they're running. And guess what she got in her pocket? She has drums. I don't know if last year I once was speaking about this. And then like a guy started, don't do it. A guy started banging on the table. I'm like, no, not those drums. She had real drums. Who in the world carries drums with them? People carry their wallet and obviously their phone. Don't drop your phone, right? But who carries drums with you? That's strange. But Miriam knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take her out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. Oh, there's the Mitzrim on the one hand. We got the sea. Hashem's got a plan for all of us. We're going to go through. We're going to make it through. And she had her drums ready. We need to realize that we need the Geula more. We need to realize that we can bring the Geula. We need to realize that we can make Torah a song. How can we make Torah a song? Start singing it. Start realizing how awesome it is. Getting into your Gemara, Iyun, Bekiyus, whatever it is. Getting into it more. Amalek tried to take that out of us. The end of the parsha. Amalek said, yeah, Kar, coldness, Mikra. There's no Hashem. It's just luck. Everything's luck, right? I always talk about my siyata d'shmayas. Again, every day I try to, again, maybe it's a journal or whatever it is, but to see Hashem's hand. I remember recently, amazing, I think I told this story last year, that, so I put the shiurim online and my internet was down. My internet was down and I didn't know what to do. And I didn't have a hot box or a hat box or whatever you got, right? I didn't have it. I couldn't get the internet up. And I was freaking out. What am I going to do? So I decided to go to a neighbor. And it was working. And it didn't work. And I asked my daughter. It was late at night. I'm like, obviously, when I went, the internet was working, right? She's like, yeah, of course. I'm like, obviously. I come back. And I'm like, Hashem. Hashem, a small little thing. This is like small, you know. Hashem, help me. So all of a sudden, the internet starts working. True story. I'm not making it up. Not heebie-jeebies. And the internet starts working, and I start uploading this year, and it hits to 80%, 90%, you know, like you're counting down, right? Like, I got 10 seconds here. Let's go. I'm like cheering it on, even though no one else is there. I'm like clapping. Hopefully my kids won't wake up. Like, what is my father doing? He's clapping to the year. And I hit, and it gets uploads. A second later, the internet goes off. It was the most unbelievable thing. Again, this is a small little thing. I have other stories which you heard, some strange stories, some good stories, how I always lose things, somehow I get them back, get myself a wallet, but whatever, you know. But again, this is the idea. The idea is, idea number one, if we want to accomplish in anything in life, we need to instill within ourselves the confidence. If you don't instill yourself the confidence, you won't accomplish. It doesn't happen. No, I have to wait. I have to wait for that moment of inspiration. No. The more you attack things and you say, I could do it, and you set your mind to it, you can do whatever you want. Klal Yisrael couldn't attack the Mitzrim. You know why they couldn't attack the Mitzrim? Because they didn't have the confidence. Those were the people that they had a slave mentality. What is Az Az? Az is to show that even when we have Az Yashir, the beauty getting out of Mitzrayim, the Kriyas Yamsuf, we have Mi'az Bati, that sometimes things are hard and difficult, and we could get pushed through the struggles. Hashem has a plan for us all. Rav Salvechik was often, I heard from some of my Rebbeim, you know, you go on the bus and you got these old ladies crocheting on the bus, right? They're doing their crochets, the needle stuff. I don't know if you guys know what that is. They're doing a whole nice picture. Now, if you look in the back of it, it's like, oh, knotted and gross, whatever. But then when you look in the front of it, it's beautiful. Says the Rav, you know, life, we got the bumps, and it's hard, and you don't fully understand. But at the end of the day, you're going to have a beautiful picture. Because that's what life's about. Mi'az, Bati, it was hard. There were struggles. Power wasn't letting them out. But it led to an Az Yashir. Why, if you're late, you don't say Kriyas Yamsuf? Because you need the buildup. You need the Halalukas. You need the Pesuket et Zimra to realize how lucky we are. And lastly, what was that in the Minasesi? The Minasesi, so many of them, Machlekes, what it is. Either Nisesi is that they had more time on their hand. The Nisesi was, according to Rashi, that they had halachas, that they had to learn about the Man. Or that last idea, the Ramban. It's about bringing the emunah, bringing the bitachon, realizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan for us all, realizing don't give up, realizing we could accomplish. Bezer Hashem, everyone should come, learn up the parasha. If you didn't start Shnai Mikra yet, these are the parashas to do them. Everyone should realize how much they could accomplish. Bring the sheer, the spontaneous Hashem, I love you. Give a kiss to Hashem. You could talk to him whatever you want. If you're having a struggle, he's there for you. And Bezer Hashem, everyone should have an amazing Shabbos. Amazing, amazing parashas b'shalach.